Will you turn to Revelation chapter 17, please? Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. Revelation 17, 1. Babylon the prostitute. Dave said he couldn't find songs about that. Babylon the prostitute. Pay your money, get your pleasure. That's the business of a prostitute, and that is the business of Babylon. But we will see that the pleasure is wealth and luxury, not sexual pleasure. The pleasure of valuable possessions is the business of this prostitute. The Bible introduces us to Babylon in Genesis 11 and to Jerusalem in Genesis 14. Before we are one-third of the way through Genesis, we are told about both cities. And they are both prominent in the last quarter of Revelation and a lot of times in between. And we could have fun with that, but I'm going to leave it alone because this is long enough without that. But these are two iconic symbols of people trying to live independently of God and of people worshiping God right from the first third of Genesis. Revelation answers the question, what's going on in the world? What is actually going on in the world? What spiritual forces explain what we see? And chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation, I think, are the biggest eye-opener for us in this book. The John's seven first-century churches needed this explained. This was part of their life. Babylon, the prostitute, was alive and well in the Roman world in the first century, and Babylon the prostitute is alive and well in North America in the 21st century. So Babylon introduced, chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. I'm going to read the first six verses. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters. With her the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. It's not working. It's not turned on. Thank you, Vinny. Verse 4. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, God's people, and the blood of those who bore witness to Jesus. This is part of the bowl judgments. The angel that introduces this to John was one of the angels that carried one of the seven bowl judgments, which we had in the previous chapters. And basically, the last two bowls, the sixth and seventh bowls, at the end of chapter 16, chapter 17 to 19, we get a three-chapter expansion of the last two bowls. We're not going to do all of that, but that's what's going on in chapter 17 to 19. She's a prostitute. The kings of the earth commit adultery with her, and those who live on earth are intoxicated with the wine of her adultery. Only the kings can afford to have sex with the prostitute. The rest of us can afford to feel good with her adulterous wine. That's the way this is set up. How does she look? She's rich. She actually looks like a queen. The description does not try to make the woman look sexually attractive. That happens in the Bible, but that's not what we get here. This woman is rich. Everything a woman could want to wear to show off her glory and wealth and look good, this prostitute owns and wears. She is impressive to see. She's marvelous. But the cup she drinks is disgusting. She's drunk with the blood of saints and those who are faithful to Jesus. She is filthy and bloodthirsty. She is a splendid-looking, putrid killer. This description intends to show us, it intends to show us that wealth and luxury is gross and evil. That's what this opening description is trying to tell us. To compare with Babylon, how does God's woman dress? You got a picture of God's woman in the beginning of Revelation 12. God's woman also looks like a queen. She has a crown of 12 stars. She's clothed with the sun. The moon is her footstool. That's the real woman, God's woman, clothed with the heavens. After that, the prostitute looks like expensive tacky. But God's woman has to flee to the wilderness, where God makes sure she survives. The rest of chapter Revelation 17 describes the destruction of Babylon the prostitute, and I'm going to skip that, and we're going to go straight to chapter 18. Revelation 18 is seven funeral speeches. You've been at a funeral, people get up and make speeches, different kinds at a funeral. This is the funeral of the prostitute, and there are seven speeches going on there. The first and seventh speakers are both angels who announce what happened to Babylon. Let's go through these speeches. Speech one, the angel announces Babylon has fallen. This is chapter 18, verses 1 to 3. So this is presented. So Babylon is gone, and now we're having the funeral, and there are seven speakers at the front. Speech one, the angel announces that Babylon has fallen. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons, a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations drank the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth got rich from her excessive luxuries." So she's done. All the nations drink her wine. Sorry, all the nations drink her wine. Everyone drinks the wine of her fornications and loses their way. Only the kings can afford to actually get into bed with her. The merchants of the earth, the buyers and sellers, they get rich from her luxury. The nations get drunk. The kings get into bed. The merchants get rich. Who is she? Speech two, the Lord calls us. Come out of her, my people. Then I heard another voice from heaven. Come out of her, my people, so you will not share in her sins, so you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Pour her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, "I sit enthroned as queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. So, come out of her, my people." The Lord calls us, "Come out of her, my people, so you don't share in her sins, because I don't want you to receive any of her plagues, because her judgment will be severe." We will come back to this. Speech 3, the king's lament, verses 9 and 10. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury, see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, woe, woe to you, the great city, you mighty city of Babylon, in 1 hour your doom has come. The kings fornicated with her and they shared her luxury. That's two different ways of saying the very same thing. To be immersed in wealth and luxury and to commit adultery with her are two ways of saying the same thing. And they weep and mourn and are terrified. Why? You were so great. You were so mighty and in 1 hour you're gone. When we have money and power, we think we're secure. She had unbelievable wealth and unbelievable power, and in 1 hour it's gone. It just disappeared. Poof! They can't believe it. What makes us feel secure? This is going after that. When do you feel secure? Set up. When do you not feel secure? Every reason to be secure, in 1 hour it's gone. If we have money and power, we'll be okay even if God ignores us. Because we have money and power, and we'll be okay. We can be independent of God. That's the lie that comes with drinking the wine. It will all be gone in an hour. Speech 4, the merchant's lament. Verses 11 to 17 of chapter 8. This is the longest speech at the funeral, and it's the central one of the seven. It is the single most important speech. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their stuff anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, human beings sold as slaves. And they, the merchants, will say, the fruit you long for is gone from you. All your luxury and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, woe, woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls, in 1 hour brought to ruin. Why do the merchants weep and mourn? Nobody's shopping. They are dead in the water because nobody's shopping. It's over. They brought in all this incredible stuff. Nobody's shopping. It's that simple. They fill their stores with these wonderful things. Nobody's shopping. What do you notice about this long list of cargoes? It's all luxury stuff. It's all luxury stuff. People don't need these things. This is not the basics of life, ordinary food and clothing and shelter. 1 Timothy 6, if we have food and clothing and shelter, with this we will be content. Is that so? Is that so? Never one day of my life have I been content with that. Godliness with contentment is a great profit, he says in the same place. No, that's a loss. No, he says, if you really want to be rich, godliness with contentment. Babylon the prostitute is an economic system based on luxury. That's what she is. She's an economic system based on luxury, things that are beautiful and expensive and we like to have. Babylon the prostitute is an economy based on what people want, not what they need. The real buying and selling is luxuries, not essentials. When we buy something new, it feels good. We experience pleasure. It buys good to feel something nice and to own it. For a while, it feels good. We just drank the wine of her fornication. and got a little intoxicated. It felt good, didn't it? We all know far too much about this wine, and I'm no different. That's us. Me. Kings are immensely wealthy. They can buy whatever they want. That's called actually getting into bed with her. They can fornicate with her. They can wallow in their wealth. The rest of us are not that rich, but we can still run behind her with our tongues hanging out. We drink the maddening wine of her adultery. This is our economic system here and now in full force. Babylon the prostitute has never been closer and bigger than it is in North America right now, and I expect all of Western society. We live in her backyard. All our advertising is built around creating a desire where there is no need. Our whole economy is based on creating a desire where there is no need. We could not possibly be thicker into this. If everyone in North America suddenly stopped buying what we want and only bought what we need, our economy would be trashed in 2 weeks. Completely trashed. If people only shopped for what they need, there would be nothing else in the news. This whole thing would grind to a halt. And we're all in it. We're tied to it. You can't get out of it. Like, our economy is based on this too. Your income and mine. It's all, I thought about different jobs in this house and in this household and this church here, and it's just, it's there. Jesus saw money and possessions as very strong competition with him for our minds and souls. He wants our minds and souls. Wealth and possessions want our mind and souls. And he saw it as a very serious competitor. He said more about wealth and possessions than he did about love. He thought they were dangerous. We don't think they're dangerous. He said you can't serve both. And we think, why not? We don't think they're dangerous. He thought they were dangerous. It is very hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he said. Nearly impossible. This is the Laodicean church. This was a first century problem, as well as ours. Jesus said, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have wealth. I don't need anything. And you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They were intoxicated with the prostitute's wine and did not see their poverty. That's why he wanted to spit them out. But he didn't. He went after them. Knocked at the door and asked to be let back in. The last words of the merchants, gone in 1 hour. All that wealth and security, gone in 1 hour. Wealthy people feel secure. They are not secure. That comes only from God. And notice when the prostitute dies, no people die. There's no blood. The system falls. The system falls apart. But nobody dies. An economic system crashes. That's what the prostitute dying is. An economic system based on wealth crashes completely, utterly, very quickly. She's dead. That's why everybody stands and mourns. But nobody goes to the hospital because nobody's physically actually hurt. They just lost all their money. Speech 5, the sailor's lament. Ancient sailors were transporters like our truckers. Every sea captain and all who traveled by ship, 18 verse 17, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand off, far off. Every trucking company owner and every trucker and all who earn their life from living from transportation will stand afar off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, was there ever a city like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads with weeping and mourning and cry out, woe, woe to you, great city, where all who had ships on the sea and trucks on the highways became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour, she has been brought to ruin. If nobody's shopping, the trucks have nothing to do. All the people who make their living transporting things we don't need, but we sure want, they all become rich because the prostitute is wealthy. Sailors aren't evil people, and probably most sailors were dirt poor, just like lots of truckers are. But the companies are making lots of money, and that's what's going on there. The sailor's last words, in 1 hour. Okay, all these three laments, they all end. How fast this happened. We think we're secure. This thing can dry up so fast. That's the warning. That's why God says, Come out of her, my people. Money security is a myth. God is our only security. Speech 6, God tells his people to celebrate. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets. God judged for you against her. What should God's people do when they see the smoke of her burning? Rejoice, celebrate, praise, and thank God. See, the prostitute, this system is evil. It seems neutral. It's just stuff. It's not neutral. It is spiritually dark, twisted, blasphemous. It is a project to be independent of God, and it intoxicates people. But it's dark. That's what Revelation is trying to do here. We don't think this stuff is bad. God's people have never thought this stuff is bad. But this is a very dark, evil, twisted system. And that's why God's people should rejoice when the system collapses. Speech 7. Babylon will never be rebuilt. The last speech. A mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, "With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, pipers and trumpeters will never be heard in you again." You see, when the economy drops, after a while, it comes back up again. It builds back up again. You know, you just wait. There's depressions, but then it turns around. Not this time. That's the whole point of this paragraph. Not this time. No worker of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of the bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's important people. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all who have been slaughtered on the earth. How many people have been killed so somebody else could get richer in the history of humanity? Plenty. Let's pull this together. A prostitute sells pleasure. That's her business. This great wealthy prostitute sells the pleasure of buying and owning nice things. It feels good to own them. If we were rich as kings, we could actually fornicate. We are not. So we run after her with our tongues hanging out and we drink the wine. God blessed Israel with prosperity at different times. In the Old Testament, material blessing was so that people could have enough food and clothing, live in peace, not be worried about enemies and starvation. The purpose of the blessing was not so that people would accumulate more and more clothes, more and more houses, more and more carriages, and so on. The purpose was not accumulation. It was that people didn't have to worry and they could enjoy God and life. That's the purpose of material blessing. They could enjoy God and life and each other without worrying about having enough. Not to get more things. To enjoy God and people in life. On the whole, in this church, we know quite a bit of this. We understand God calls us to live simply and generously and be content. Like this is not, in some ways, the call of the Lord is not new to you people, and I know that. You knew that before today. But let's hear the Lord's call again, because we are being told here the spiritual flavor behind our economic system that we would not have dawned on us to see in that way. Come out of her, my people, so that you do not share in her sins, so you will not receive her plagues. Her sins are piled up to heaven. God has remembered her crimes. I'm going to end with instruction in 1 Timothy to us. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Don't connect money to enjoyment. Command us to do good. Be rich in good deeds. Be generous. Be willing to share. And this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves. Sounds like something Jesus said. As a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Amen. Stand up and let's pray. Our great God, lead us out of Babylon, so we do not share in her sins, and so that we do not receive any of her plagues. Give us eyes to see. Equip us with everything good for doing your will, and work in us what pleases you. We are counting on you who called us to be faithful, and see it done in us. We ask for this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.